Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome, welcome. This is a great day that we are glad to come and discuss some things today. So I am Vaughn, and I have a co-host on the line, and which is Reggie. And we're going to be just discussing some things that I think is on everybody's mind today. So I want to give everybody a moment to just call in, get your friends, tag someone. I'm inviting you to the chat rooms. You can, we'll be checking the chat rooms for comments. That call-in number is 516-666-8431. Again, call-in number is 516-666-8431. You can select to speak with the host, or you just may want to call in and stay there on mute. That is your option. But you are invited to participate in this meeting tonight as we bring up various different topics that we'll be discussing tonight, and we want your input. We are listening. Amen? All right, all right. So, Reggie, let's see if I can get you.
Okay, can you hear me?
Open. There we go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So it's a little bit on my end. I had to do too to actually hear you.
Oh.
But very good. All right. So I just want to just introduce ourselves to anyone. And again, we're going to give everyone a little time just to get settled in. And I invite you again to go to the chat lines and make sure that you invite someone to come and participate that may have some concerns about what we're speaking about tonight. So just want to introduce ourselves. And remember, I remind you also that this here tonight and any time that we're on, if you miss it, no problem. You can log back into the Blog Talk, and these are going to be in archives. So you can go back to the archives and listen to any of the different broadcasts. You can download those broadcasts to your computers, to your MP3s, whatever, to your phones. And so it's going to be something, these discussions, it's going to be something that does not just affect your today, but you can carry it with you. You can share it with someone. Amen? Because we really want to make a difference. We're here to make a difference and allow you to be heard and your opinions. And so, again, my name is Vaughn. I'm in San Antonio, Texas, and I'm just going to let my co-host go ahead and introduce himself, and then we're going to go ahead and get started. All right. Go ahead, brother.
Okay. Let me start off by saying my name is Reggie Harwell. I'm so thankful for you and what you've done here with this Blog Talk. And I really just wanted to call in and get involved in what you're trying to do. I am a father of two, a daughter who's 38 and a son who is 34. But I think over the course of my life, I've learned a lot about parenting and various other things about our community. I'm a 27-year military veteran. I retired from the Air Force, the U.S. Air Force, in 2007. And so in that capacity, I've interacted with lots and lots of America's young men and women, older men and women. I've supervised up the chain to the executive workforce level. And so having moved around the world in those 27 years and met new people who've come and gone and supervised and managed thousands of those people, I would say that I have some experience with dealing with situations and problem-solving situations in my life. And so I hope that someone can help me, and that I can be of help to someone else. Thank you very much, Evangelist Vaughn.
That is so awesome. That is so awesome. And I think that's why we have been put together to do something like this, and just to open up just a discussion floor for people to call in from wherever just to get their opinion on different things. And you know, I tell the people that when I get ready to, when I have some things that are on my mind that I need some help about, I know that I can call and get that information from you. And so that's exactly what I feel like there's others who feel like that what we have to say and what they have to say is important enough that may make a difference in somebody's life today. And so, like I said, even if it's not a live stream call in, even when you call in over the archives, checking in the archives, you get to still learn something that's going to take you about your way. And so we're just going to start the discussion tonight. I think about we have a lot of different topics. And also, anyone who's listening or in the archives, if there is anything that you want us to discuss or you have a question about, feel free to leave that chat or leave that open for us so we can dive into it and see what our opinions are. And again, we're looking for solutions to any problem. So that's what we ask. Whatever it is, let's have some solution as we call in and talk about the problem. And so I wanted to talk generally. You spoke a little bit about parenting, and we look in the world, and that's a great place to start now. And again, happy belated birthday to my niece, your daughter, Candace, turning 38. It's just really something to look back and see that I can remember when I was 38, you know, and then we look and see our kids are 38 and 39 and, you know, things like that. It's just, it's really a blessing just to look back on. And so I just want to open the broadcast by saying that all of our condolences here from the RBV, which is Reggie, Barbara, and Vaughn, our chat, you know, we want to send our condolences out to the families that, like Cupcake, that's a world, everybody's talking about that right now, where everybody's kind of aware of the three-year-old that was abducted from a birthday party, and they later found her and they found her body, and I'm not for sure, it was two different ones. One was in a trash receptacle, one was in somewhere else similar to that. There was a five-year-old, and I think they was both in Alabama or Georgia. But we want to send our condolences out to those families. And as parents, you know, our heart bleeds with you, and we understand that that's not an easy task. I can't tell you how you feel about your three-year-old, but I know just as a mother and as fathers, we understand that that's got to be a difficult time in your life. So we want to send our condolences to you. And some of the things that we look at is when our kids, we is parenting in different ways. So let's just start there as far as the parenting styles. I understand that there are different styles of parenting from people say sometimes that, oh, you know, what we used to do back in the day, that's not acceptable anymore. But I'm not for sure about all the details of the different one that was abducted from the birthday party, so I don't want to speak particularly on that. But the abduction and all the child pornography that's out here and all of the different sex trades that's going on. And what is your opinion, Reggie, as far as what are some of the maybe the outlets that we should be blocking or closing or watching that maybe we got our eyes on something else that's allowing this stuff to still take place so freely? And I'm not going to say we're ever going to stop it all, but that it's still able to just happen so freely at a child's birthday party or a child just riding their bike. What is it as parents that we may be missing that we can come together and make a difference in that area?
Well, I think this is a good question. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you fine.
Okay, great. Evangelist Vaughn, I think this is a very good question because it opens it up for us to discuss several different things here and several different factors. But first, as you might know, one of my personal beliefs, and I guess I may have acquired it in the military over the years, But one of my personal beliefs is that we have a responsibility as citizens in a free democracy to self-police. And self-policing means that we start with our own selves and we mm-hmm. police or keep ourselves in order so that we can carry out our responsibilities. And so that's the start, is that we self-police. Now, I use that so that I can talk about self-policing. The next stage is self-policing mm-hmm. our families. And so that mm-hmm. means that as responsible parents, we have an obligation to self-police ourselves and our families, so that if we as parents are responsible for taking care of our children, then that means mm-hmm. that when they are out and exposed, that we have a responsibility to be sober and clear, have a clear mind, and always attending to our children. And this does not refer to the case in Alabama necessarily with Little Cupcake, but it just means mm-hmm. that we are involved and know that when our kids are in positions of danger, we are not over, you know, drinking and smoking weeds or involving in partaking of some drugs, mm-hmm. that we are self-policing ourselves to make sure that our children are safe. And so I think that's the first step, is to look within. And then our next step is going to be to look outside and start looking mm-hmm. at situations that lend themselves to putting our children in danger. And so that's going to mm-hmm. come with things like the internet and chat rooms where children can go and come in contact, unintentionally for the child, come in contact with an adult who is pretending to be someone of their age. So it begins with the internet. It carries on to when we're outside and we have our children playing on the playground. We have the responsibility to not get distracted, to attend to our children, watch them, and in this case, in many cases, make sure that they're safe from playground hazards, make mm. sure that they're safe from any type of individuals trying to approach them. That's our responsibility, to make sure that we attend to the children when they're outside the home, and that we're also attending to the people who are approaching our children, and make sure that we can interject ourselves in between our child and that, let's just use the word predator, or at least outside stranger, and that's probably a better mm-hmm. word. So that's where I say that we have a responsibility to stay alert, and this doesn't mean that the fault for any type of child abduction, the fault lies solely on the parents. But I compare this to a motorcycle rider. Since I am a motorcycle rider, we have to apply what we call defensive driving. Because if we get involved with an accident with an automobile, even mm-hmm. if it's not our fault, we are going to suffer the greatest consequences. And that's the way that we should also approach. So as a motorcycle rider, I'm always looking for the deadliest approach is when someone coming towards me doesn't see me and they make a left turn, which crosses my path, crosses right in front of me, and I hit them on the side, on the right side of their car. For me, the rider, they would be making a turn to my right. This is one of the most dangerous situations for motorcycle riders, and there are others. But the key is that as a motorcycle rider, anytime I see this situation, I flash my lights, I turn my lights on bright, and I ride with my lights on bright most of the time. And I also let off the throttle and be prepared, and I prepare myself to brake immediately. And so, as we said, it is not my fault if that car turns in front of me. However, I'm the one that will suffer the greatest consequences with my life. And so now, taking that back to our responsibility with our children, it doesn't mean that we're bad parents. It doesn't mean that we're bad people if a bad stranger comes and does something and abducts our child. But it does mean that that child is very important to us, and so we have to do defensive living. And we have to take the action to keep that child secure, even though it wouldn't be our fault, but we would suffer the greatest consequences, and so would our child.
Wow.
So that's input on that.
Most definitely. That is so well put together because, wow, I mean, it's a visual that I think most parents can kind of, after hearing that, say, yeah, I can see where you're right. That does apply to me. And we touched on a lot of different things there because a lot of the times it's just we're living that technology time. You know, technology, it used to be that, you know, you could set your child down in front of the TV while you go do something in the kitchen and you turn on Sesame Street or Electric Company, different things like that. And now, instead, you give them your phone. You give them your tablet. They're on some kind of a device that has all different things that we think that they may be looking at one thing, but Sesame Street is no longer interesting when you start pushing some buttons and you see something a little bit more that outlandish or something that's more mature that you haven't saw before. Maybe you saw Big Brother, Big Sister pushing on this site or something. And so they're still sitting in there with the device, and we're still thinking that they're still doing that because sometimes we get busy and they're quiet. They're not really up on our shirt tails. And so we think they're doing fine. They're in there. They're watching Sesame Street. They're really into it. And it could be something different. And then, like you said, also, you know, it's times that for our, I think the tween age, that in between that 9 and 11-ish age range, and it's so easy to get in contact with something and push on some website. Somebody is speaking to you, and you're speaking back to them, and they seem to be speaking your language. And so it's easier to start talking and feeling comfortable, and then you end up not knowing that this is an 18-year-old, a 25-year-old, and sometimes even older than that, that is drawing our kids, even though they're right in the house with us, is drawing them outside of our environment into something totally different that we've been working so hard to try to protect them from, and our kids have been drawn on the outside from our right there in the home just through these devices, just going to all kind of different sites. And I know that it's a lot of different stuff in the government now is trying to censor the way that some of these here outlets are able to reach our loved ones, but you know, there's a lot of stuff out there right now. I'm not for sure we're at that day and time that we're going to be able to stop because it's gone so far. How many times, brother, do you actually, you know, we hear as a whole when something happens, it can even be a shooting, a mass shooting or something, and then they go back and they find online, hey, they was talking about this 2 and 3 and 4 days before. Hey, they went here and start online, start searching about this here title, this topic. You know, hey, they was already trying to order different things from different websites. It's so such a vast opening right now. It's so many ways that you can just get all kind of information from hate crimes to almost anything that you want. So how do we keep that? A lot of the times we've said, you know, the parents Come on now, you check your garage. You should have known that all of this artillery, the guns and weapons and whatever it was, you know, was in that room or in your house somewhere in the garage. But now it's so many different things that we don't check our, especially our teenagers. Do we go back and check their computers to see exactly what browsers they've been at? Is that something that we as parents now are should be doing? Should we have been doing it all along? Because as you said, as a motorcycle rider, to prevent something like that from happening, we got to check these dangerous spots and these blind spots. So I think that may be a blind spot that maybe we're missing. Maybe when we are responsible enough to give our kids these devices, part of our prolonged responsibility is to check back on that. Maybe that's the agreement that you make with your child. Maybe even have your child sign and you sign that before. I know in the school system now, the kids have to sign that even on the computers at school that they will and will not do this and that. And so maybe, what do you think about that? Where do we go with that? It may be some ideas that we haven't even thought of yet that our young people really would know those answers to. But I'm thinking that maybe we are got to be a little bit more responsible when we're given these devices and we're there are stuff entertaining themselves with that. But when do you go back and check those browsers, even if they delete? There are certain ways, and I know you're the computer man, if they delete from that page that they was on, there are certain ways that as parents we should be able to still go back and kind of do some breadcrumbs and follow where they've been. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. As a matter of fact, you hit the nail right on the head, some of the things that you just spoke about. You know, it's our responsibility, and I have to jump back to that repeatedly, because as mm-hmm. parents, it's our responsibility to create and control the environment in which our children are raised. Now, that sounds pretty simple, because it is. It is just that simple. We have to look at so many things when it comes to our children, and sometimes we take, you know, we take the route of I'm tired, I just got home from work, or I had an argument, or things that have that could distract us, or we really might be tired, but it's easy for us to just throw children the television remote and let them go and give them a telephone or let them play with our telephone and just let them go. Let them read certain magazines and play certain games. As you know, these games today are, there are games out there that are really, really violent and sexually suggestive. And they have websites that people go to who play these games, that children go to and discuss the games themselves. These are some of the websites, the ones that are predominantly used to interact with our kids. And I know in my case, my god-grandson has played these games. And I go in sometimes and he's talking with someone who's in Brazil or in Europe or in another state or down the street. But all of these people are in the same gaming rooms playing these video games or virtual reality games. These are just a few of the things and the ways that people penetrate our homes now. You know, before it was the four walls, and many of our parents talked about the things that go on inside these four walls stay inside these four walls. And it was also a matter of parents being able to know that once their children were inside the four walls, and we can all recall some parents saying, be home by the time the streetlights come on. We felt safe, or they felt safe, because we were inside those four walls.
Right.
Today, however, jumping forward to today, there's a totally different environment. Those four walls, they stop some things, such as bad weather, or criminals who are physically outside the door. But we have also, we have that wire coming into our homes, which is the cable, which is the internet cable, the cable TV cable, electronic magazines on the internet, electronic chat rooms on the internet. We now could say that we have penetrated, that those things have penetrated our four walls, and our kids are now exposed to danger even when we have them in our own homes. And so using that same theory of self-policing, initially we talked about self-policing oneself, and then as parents we have to self-police our own family. We can't look outside of our own home and say that it is the school's responsibility, because outside of self-policing our children and our families, then we have to self-police our streets and our neighborhoods and our towns and cities and our counties, our state and our nation. Those are the different levels of self-policing. But we cannot expect anyone outside of our homes or our families to do the things that we are required to do. It is our responsibility to carry out. So we can't blame the school teacher and say the school teacher should be teaching these children how to protect themselves. We can't say that it is the internet company. We can't say that it is the neighbor next door or the mayor of the city. It is no one's primary responsibility but ours. Lawmakers can pass laws that say we can't expose, that young folks can't be exposed to certain types of information. However, criminals don't necessarily follow the law. And so that's the key thing to remember. And so there, you know, when talking about, you know, those threats that are out there, you know, that face our children and our families, you know, they receive, there are things in magazines, television shows, in the movies. When is the last time that you have checked on the TV shows that your kids are watching? And many of these televisions now, many of these televisions have apps that use the internet, Netflix, Roku, some of the other apps. They are able to even go on those apps and into discussion rooms. And so even though you set up on your television, we all should sit down and on those televisions go into those parenting sections of the menu. And there we should set limits, what channels they can watch. Maybe you want to limit those channels to the ABC, CBS, the ones that still control, you know, obscenities and certain things. Maybe we should limit the time that they're on these systems. We know that the time spent on these systems, at those times, our children are primarily having interactions that are not productive a lot of the times. And so by going into those television sets, number one, we as parents are able to leverage some control over what our children are accessing on those televisions. We can also go into our cable boxes and make sure that the cable box in this room or in this house has to have a four-digit PIN typed in before it will allow you to watch. And so, yep, it's an inconvenience. Some might say, well, that's too big of an inconvenience. What if I'm not home from work yet? Well, the trade-off is, A, your child has more things to do, and so did you when you were a child. There are more things mm-hmm. to do than watch television, and it's not gonna do him any harm or her any harm to sit at home for an hour without an electronic device. And that's the way we have to look at it, just like the motorcycle rider who has to drive defensively, the parent also has to parent defensively. It is not going to kill your child to not have access to electronics while you're not home. And you must insist and continually enact that rule. You've got to make sure that you follow that and make that a practice. That behavior has to become a practice. I say that events coming in three forms. The first one is an occurrence, and I call it OPP or EPP. So you have an occurrence or an event. That's a one-time action. And so this just simply means that it's out of the norm. It just happened. Don't get too concerned. But if it continues to happen, now it becomes a pattern. Now this has happened in short time range. This is happening, has happened three times, four times. Now what we have here is a pattern. And we have to interject, we have to inject ourselves in this process, in this behavioral process with our children, or in this process at work where subordinates are not doing their job, showing up late. Once it becomes a pattern, we have to step in, talk to the person, find out what's going on, and lastly, give them, refer them to tools that they can use to correct the problem. And then let them know what to expect if it continues to happen. But now it has passed being an event or an occurrence. It has passed being a pattern, and it continues to happen. Now it has become a practice. And a practice has pretty much settled into the subconscious, and the person many times is continuing to do it because there has been no one correcting them, and they feel that no one has noticed, and now subconsciously they're just continuing to display that behavior. And so that's where, jumping back to how I got into that, the OPP, which is that's just something that I made up from the behaviors that I have observed over the years. That's how I came up with that EPP or OPP, but I think it applies. Now, so using that, jumping back to the parent who is at work, and I was saying that it's not going to kill them to let those children stay at home and not have access to electronics, which they have not controlled. If they can't observe it or if they haven't had the option yet, the time to be able to set restrictions on those items and time limits, then just remember that if you give in because you're tired, just remember that now it's becoming an event, an occurrence. Now you're giving in again and again. Now it's becoming a pattern. And you continue to do these things. You continue to take, I'll do it next time. It can become a pattern, a practice, and with the pattern and practice, these are all things that seriously, seriously threaten our children and our families. So those are some of the things that, you know, I would say that you have to watch when you send your kids to someone's house overnight to spend the night with a friend. You must know who they're going to be spending the night with. You might know the mother. You might be friends with the mother. or be acquainted with the mother. Maybe not friends, but just acquainted with her. You see her at the soccer games or the baseball games or basketball games. But do you know her live-in boyfriend? Or do you know that father know the women that he hangs around with and his live-in loves? And that's very important that you must ask these questions and get involved. And getting from the state that you're currently in and exhibiting the behaviors that you currently do, let's say you're not that involved yet, but you want to be really involved, it just requires practice, practice, practice. You're not going to get there overnight, but you must sit down and write out some of the threats that are out there for your child. Know what's being taught to your children. How many of us go to the education board, go to the PTA meeting? How many of us go to the county education board office and look at the curriculums that are being taught to your children? Look at the books that they're using. This information is available to us. This is what highly involved parents do. You must know who you're turning your children over to when they go to practice and you drop them off and they go inside. So you got to teach them that what to do if someone approaches them. Set up your own rules that if someone says something, your mother told me to stop and pick you up, that you have to set up a password. So that if she really did want that person to pick you up, then she would give that person a password, and that person would give that password to the child. And that is if the parent had been hospitalized and the children are still at school and she needs someone to pick the child up, then she would give that password to the child. Otherwise, teach them to yell and run and kick and scream and do everything you can to not go with that adult. Bite, kick, everything you can. And just remember that, once again, this is all about practice, practice, practice. Know the friends that they're hanging out with. Talk to people. Yeah. Talk to other children. Find out who those friends are and what behaviors they have displayed. If this child is a F student in school, birds of a feather flock together. You do not want to expose your child to that type of person. And if that's the behavior that they were raised in their household with, then you need to make sure that you watch watch your child and don't have them over there hanging around that house a lot. I know that sounds, someone might say, well, that sounds like I'm saying I'm better than they are. Once again, you must take this as you are responsible for policing your children and your family. And so you have to watch who influences your children. Is it the guy down the street who races motorcycles? Does that influence your children? You have to make sure that they hang around, that you expose them to environments that are safe for them, and they don't have to go out here in the streets to find someone to influence them. So that's what I have to say on that, Evangelist Vaughn. I appreciate that, the opportunity here.
It's just so much meat in there, and that's why I remind everyone that these episodes are available in the archives. So anytime, if you miss the 90 minutes that we're here, you do have an option to go back and get this information, apply it to your city, to your state, and it all starts right there in your home. I think that a lot of times, though, we pick and choose what we want to carry with us in our future that we had in our past. And I say that as, you know, some of the times when we were in school, yeah, my teachers, if I act up there, my teachers are going to correct me right there, right? If I was out in the schoolyard playing, if I was in my neighborhood playing and I act up, some of those parents was going to correct me right then and there. And then it was going to get back to my mom. So it was almost like you had a dose of your correction right there with the teacher or that parent. And then when you got home, you got a double dose because it was a second reminder that the behavior, not me, but the behavior that I was exhibiting was not acceptable and the reasons why behind it. Now, sometimes those reasons why was given to me as I was getting a spanking. But it was always that reason why that would keep me from going back to do it again. So we fast forward now and we say, well, that's not good anymore. Don't you tell my child anything. The teacher can only do her job is to teach my child the curriculum. It's not her duty to tell my child you shouldn't be acting this way or saying this thing. That's not her. We don't allow that to happen. We just don't think that's fair any longer. So we want to just delete that part of our past. And we don't allow someone out in the neighborhood to stop and try to correct your child from doing wrong. No, we don't want to do that. However, when little Jimmy and Johnny or Susie or Sally gets in trouble and they go to the court, now we'll reach out to a neighbor that we don't even speak to any longer and ask them to come and speak as a character witness. And so what I'm saying is it can't be both ways. And so if our teachers are not allowed to do anything but just stay in this certain little narrow lane when it comes to your child, understand then you got to pick up the slack. You got to pick up the slack then and make sure that you're doing all the things that you just heard Reggie speak about as far as getting more involved with your child. Because I always say that when we go and give birth to these children, we don't have the mayor, we don't have the governor in there, we don't have all the teachers from the local school board. We have us. So when we say that we have given birth to our baby, this is our child, we got to stay with that all the way, all the way. We've got to be there. And he spoke about, you know, that some of the times we may be tired. We're out there working hard. We're trying to educate ourselves better, to take care of our kids. That's just a part of life. But remember, we've got to make sure we're doing all of it because all of that will be in vain if we turn a blind eye to all the things that is going on and we mess up. We miss it. We miss the whole mark because our kids are lost and they're being drawn out into the world from within our four walls. And so it's just so much. And even as grandparents and you see the different ways that things change, and we do have to be flexible and bend a little bit in some of our ways. And but I can just see from the time the way I raised my kids, I can see times have definitely changed for these kids here. But everything can't change. That just really means that you've got to be more attentive. I could open up my doors and tell my kids, okay, go outside and play now. And I could be messing around in the house doing all the things that I needed to do, still checking out the door. Mommy comes to that window and look. And many times they didn't even see me looking, but believe me, I'm looking. I'm somewhere looking, just checking on them. Well, it's not like that today. In this day and time, the kids, once they get home, they're in that house most of the time. But it's like we said, sometimes it can be more dangerous now inside of the house. It gives them more time to mess around and they end up finding guns now. They end up going in the medicine cabinet and finding all different things in the medicine cabinets that are addicting that we wouldn't dare mess with. But those times are different. And so I think what we're saying is we need to, as parents, you know, no one is pointing the finger at you or are trying to make you feel less than, we're wanting to show you you are strong just by being those parents, and we know that you want to do the right thing. That's why you're out there educating yourself. That's why you're out there working hard. That's why you're out there, you know, trying to provide for your loved ones, your little ones, your little precious futures. That we want them to be our future also. We don't want them to be caught up in the world and don't know how to get back home. And so we're just giving out advice of what it is that, you know, as we have been there as parents and now we're grandparents, you know, and I just think that sometimes it's that's another subject, even with sometimes with the grandparents. Grandparents have to learn how to be grandparents, but it's so much inside of a grandparent to offer to those kids, because we've raised kids and now we see the different ways. But it's so much. I can remember as a kid, it was a such thing as respect. And it was, as a kid, it was certain people that I looked up to, and I just had respect for them. I remember I had a cousin, Junette, and I just always thought, you know, it was, you know, I couldn't wait to get to the age that she was at and just to kind of do some of the things she did. Or you would see some of the men, and my brothers would kind of look up to some of the men and some of the things they did. And if you sit and talk to your kids in this day and time, which, let's be real, a lot of kids don't like talking to you right now because, you know, everything has to come through the phone, or, you know, they like texting you instead of talking to you. But if you ever sit and talk to some of the kids, they don't really have a lot of people that they can say they want to be like, that they want to do the things that this. Now they may tell you, I want that car that he has. I mean, you know, I want this to that. But as far as some of the other qualities of us, they don't really have a lot that they want to. And I know you, Reggie, you used to record our kids and almost any kids that you came in contact with. You would record them and get them, just talk to them. What's on your mind? What do you think of this? And they have some interesting things to say. That's why those things are still so precious now. But I just wonder now, so many times, people don't want to hear our advice. So they're saying, well, you didn't do that with your kids. Well, I'm a different person now, and you got to work with kids according to their individual personalities too. But it's still some value in what we have to say. And so as we speak today on the broadcast, and as you listen back to it, I just want you to just get your little tidbit side of it, your little nuggets, just to see how can this help me in my parenting, you know? How is it? Maybe I need to sit down and talk to my kids. And maybe electronics, you know, like you said, he talked about different hours or times that maybe they're allowed to even be on their electronics. And so maybe that's the thing. On Tuesday and Wednesday, we're just going to have fellowship night. We're just going to talk, or we're just going to get together and just share what's on our mind. There's no electronics. Because we've got to teach our young people again how to speak out, how to talk. So when these young girls are in a situation that somebody has maybe touched them inappropriately, or even our young boys, we can talk out. They're in a habit of talking to you, speaking to you, sharing with you, good and the bad. We're not just allowing them to go to their room and just shut their door, and we say, oh, they'll be okay. Whatever's going on, when they're ready to talk, they will. Not necessarily the truth, because when they shut the door, they are talking. They're just not talking to you. They could be talking to that predator online. It's so many different things. And so we just want to make sure that we are being the best that we can be for our kids, because it hurts all of our hearts around the country when we hear that something has happened to our precious little ones. But we got to be proactive now, and we're just trying to make a stand and be proactive before that accident, before that child has been touched, before those negative things start to happen. And just one other thing, as we're talking about protecting our kids, I just briefly want to touch on some situations that when our loved ones, our little kids come to us and they tell us that this has happened to me, or I don't feel comfortable with this person, and different things like that, we have got to move our feelings about whoever that person is, and aside. We've got to set it aside, and we've got to hear our loved ones, hear our kids, and hear them speak. Because it's so many times, and this is nothing new, and it's so disturbing that it still goes on to this day. I still get so many requests for prayer for the same thing that I can remember has been going on for way back in the day. That little girls and little boys are coming to their parents and saying, Uncle Johnny, or Miss, because the teacher, Miss What's-Her-Name has now, I feel, violated me, touched me. And because we love Uncle Johnny, and because we love this teacher, we think we know our boyfriends that live in with us or whatever. We said, no, you just don't like him, so you're trying to lie on him or her. We've got to do better in that area, too. We've got to do so much better, because what is happening is so the division of fathers and sons and mothers and daughters are starting at such a young age now that they're going through this, and after a moment, they just kind of give up and say, you know what? She's not going to believe me anyway. So now they don't just hate the person who they feel is molesting them, but now they're hating you too. And so you're feeling it, and so you're just like, oh, they're just mean and don't want to be bothered. And so you treat them the same way. So much division. We've got to do better. There's so much help out there. I mean, if you don't feel like you want to go to your leaders in the church, it's got to be somebody. You got to have that go-to person that you can just go to and just say, I just want to lay it out there to you. I don't think it's true. I think she's lying or he's lying, but I just want to lay it out there to you. I want to get somebody else involved in this because I don't want my child to be being hurt and I'm sitting there turning a blind eye to it. What do you have about that, Reggie? I know that's some pretty deep stuff right there, pretty deep. But
okay, I think that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's so important what you said. While you were talking, something came to mind, and it's very important but seldom done, and that is we have to make sure that we stay in contact with our children from a young age. And when I say stay in contact, I'm talking about making sure that from a young age that we practice having conversations with them. It's the problem arises, and it arose for me when I was in the military, and I would get a young man or a young woman in, and they're experiencing some kind of problems. They're late for work. I sit down with them. I'm trying to get some information out of them. What's going on in your life? You've always been on time. And then here, over the last 3 weeks, you've been late three times, and you've never been late before. And so sometimes we might be stationed in an overseas location, and I talk to the individual, and I find out that their aunt is very ill, their favorite aunt. Or I might find out that they're being bullied in the dorm. The hard part is, the difficult part is, those young folks who have not come out of a home where they were taught to, they were taught with. Those young folks clam up, because they're not used to having conversations with people. They're not used to talking about how they feel. They're just not used to having someone get concerned about them. Stay out of it. Stay away from me. Allow me to live in my closed-off self, and don't try to come and help me. I don't want your help. So how do you do that then? So how do we start from a young age to getting these kids accustomed to someone getting involved in their lives? Well, I say if we're going to start a business, and we want to run that business smoothly, we can't have an initial business meeting and think that everything else will continually run from there. No, we have to continue to sit down with our employees, let them know what needs to be done this week. We need to sit down with them and let them know. We need to sit down with them individually, let them know how they're doing on their training. So this translates over to parenting. I, in my home, insisted on weekly family meetings. Now, full exposure, I had fight back on this. Because in my case, my wife of 38 years now, is just not the type of person who feels that weekly meetings are needed. But for me, I wanted to make sure that I had an opportunity every week to find out what the kids needed, what was coming up in school the next week, what was coming up in sports. I believe that the more you sit down, that you have to manage your home. I believe that you have to manage your home and carry out your self-policing responsibilities for your family. You have to do that as a business. You have to do that just as someone would do for their business. And so whether we're discussing the yard being cut and chores being done, or we're just simply talking about what would you like to do this summer, every week is not too often, I don't think, because the kids need to know, and you can set the date and have them lead the meeting. That's one of the things that I tried to do to overcome their, you know, dislike of having the meetings. And you might find that your spouse doesn't like having the meetings, and then the children might take that same attitude from your spouse. You cannot give in. Insist on the meetings. You can't give in. There, you're going to have to, there you explain how the rules are working. Well, what rules are not working for you? Why? How does this impact you? But make sure that they understand that the overall objective is for them to become a responsible citizen of society, member of society, and that you're able to carry out your responsibility of A, keeping them safe, B, making sure they have food on the table, and safety, by the way, comes from nature, you know, like storms and tornadoes or weather, cold or hot, and it comes in the form of, you know, keeping them secure from human danger from humans. But make sure that they also understand that you will be involved in their lives and knowing what they're doing. But if you start this early, it won't be an issue when they turn 13 and 14 and start to get their own opinions, because those are the ages when they're now approaching the adult size. And so to them, now that I'm getting to be the size of an adult, I am an adult, and they don't understand that their minds are still not operating at the adult level. So those are a couple of things, but I just have to emphasize a weekly family meeting to me makes all the difference in knowing what's going on in your children's lives. And if you haven't started it, and your children are now 10, and you haven't started it, you must make sure. And it has been said that you can make a new habit in 90 days. And other professionals, behavioral scientists, social scientists have said, no, it's not that easy. It takes about 4 or 5 months. But whatever the case, you must make sure that you form a new habit. put your foot down, insist on the meetings. They're going to cry and complain initially, but they will. But you must maintain your persistence that those meetings will happen, and set up a schedule and have those children be in charge of following. You're the leader this week, and here's the format for those meetings. Make it short. Make it sweet. Just put a few things on that list, you know, maybe 5-6 issues. But you can just let them know how long it's going to go. We want this meeting to last, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And if it goes over, it goes over, but not because of you. If they want to talk longer, just, you know, just let them know that you appreciate it. And so that's the key point is, even if they're older, make that new habit. If it takes 3 months, if it takes 5 months, you can form a new habit, and they will come around. But you can't give in when they start complaining, because you have the responsibility of self-policing your family.
That's right. What I'm hearing from you is you're basically saying make sure that, as we spoke about, that the kids do not really like to talk anymore and go through their devices, but make sure that we are bringing ourselves together as a family at least once a week, and they're getting that habit of it. And keep it short, keep it fun. You know your kids. Make sure it's some topics that, you know, is going to pique their interest. Get them open up to sharing a little bit. And the more you get into it, like you said, if it runs over, let that meeting run over, because they're so involved now into it. You know, don't you be the one as the parent that is the whole meeting is about telling them what they're not doing. Or, you know, like you said, make it fun. Keep it short and simple, and just allow them to get used to just opening up, talking in a family setting. That's just awesome, so awesome. And so I see that we have a caller from Omaha, Nebraska on the line. Welcome, Miss Tanya. God bless you. I know you are the mother of a daughter and son, so I know you have something about the children in this day and time, and your precious nephews. And we also have Barbara. I'm so glad you were able to join us. I'm sorry about the mix up there on our times or something. So the lines are open for anyone to just jump in. And we're just, again, just discussing what it is that we as parents and grandparents, how do we make a difference in our young people's lives so that they do have an opportunity to grow up and be adults, young adults and adults, and be the future of our world. How are we, what are we doing? We spoke about the electronics, all the devices and different things like that. And I just want to know, do your kids have a lot of electronics? Are they able to go outside and play in your area? Or anything that you would like to add on to their, the floor is open for you. Barbara, can you hear me? I did open your mic, Barbara, so if you're on speaker or mute, you just have to come off of mute.
Yes, I am here. First, give it honor to God that truly is the head of my life. I would like to say to Reginald, I've been standing on the wall of prayer for you and been trusting in God, and I thank God that you were able to take your last chemo and radiation on Thursday. I sent your text or email in regards to that, and just wanted to let you know that my heart was always with you and in prayer and lifting you up through the journey. For I felt in my heart through the word of God that everything was going to be all right, and just continue to trust in him and lean on him for everything. For only God is the one that can heal us and bring us through whatever it is we're going through. God only knows how much we can bear. Just want to let you know that I love you. I send my prayers and my love to the both of you.
And I appreciate that, Barbara. I think I do hear your sit here and feel your message, and I sincerely appreciate your prayers as I was going through that experience. As you know, I've talked to you about this at some point. There were times when, as the youngest child in the family for a period of time of 12 years, there were times when my sister, and in this case, you, were the one who was primarily assigned to take care of me. And the other sister was assigned to take care of Evangelist Vaughn when we were all little. And so with that, I've talked to you on several occasions and said to me, a lot of times I see you more as a mother than a sister. But I just want to say I appreciate the prayers. I appreciate your involvement. I appreciate who you are and the spiritual presence that you are and how that affects my life.
Amen. Now, on the topic, actually now I forgot what it was, but I get to speaking about Jesus and his love and what he can do, and I just lose everything. So
she was just discussing, Evangelist Vaughn had just asked some questions about the people in your life, the environment in which our kids are growing up, where in your area, and the things that are impacting our kids, if I'm right, Evangelist Vaughn.
That is correct.
My point of view on that is the parents are not being involved in the kids' life anymore like our mother was, being there with us and for us and having other responsible adults come and take us to Sunday school. I never forget that we had Miss Jenny Mae Dukes to come and pick us up for choir rehearsal or Bible study, vacation Bible study, Sunday school, and started at a young age. So you got to start them at a young age. You can't wait until they get 12 and 13 and try to teach them about the Word of God. Even at those young ages that we didn't know nothing about God, but that was our foundation. That's how we started, the foundation of it, just going there and sitting under the Word of God and not really wanting to sit there all day long and listen to preaching and singing. But that was our foundation of the best start it could have ever been for our life. And parents are not teaching that to their kids any longer because they are not attending church services or they are not taking out time to sit down to explain to their kids and be there with them. Even you don't take them to church, pull out your Bible and read a verse and teach them that verse how we did in Easter programs and Christmas programs. And we always had to learn something and get up and recite a verse or a word or something. And I still remember that. I still remember those times that we did that. I didn't know what I was doing, but I know that Miss Jenny Mae said, this is your scripture here. This is your wording. Now take it home and learn it. And several times I Mama would teach us that scripture or that wording about Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving programs and just staying involved. And I tell everybody that was my foundation of learning about Jesus. Didn't know much about it. Go to Mount Wilson, get on the seat, go to sleep. But you're covered by that word, that whatever's going on to uplift Jesus. You were covered by that word. You were covered by those songs. Songs that Miss Lucille White, Miss Luga May as the piano player, and Mama and Miss Rachel and Miss Nanny Lee, and all of them singing some old songs that I have deep in my heart now that I still remember, that I can sing and reach back and pick one. When someone says, Barbara, can you sing? Those old songs come in my heart. Those old songs come to memory. Those old songs bring back what I learned as a child. And this is what's so missing today in the world. A lot of people believe that they don't need Jesus. All they need are their fine cars and nice homes, and it's all right to have that stuff. We all love that. But you got to have Jesus in your life also. When those things are no longer around, who do you call on? When mama's gone, daddy's gone, who do you call on then? Is that nice home, those nice clothes, those nice shoes going to bring you over what you got to go through? And that's what we're missing today. It's not so much of the whippings and discipline, but it's just raising your kids under the word of God. And I believe it 100%, because I see how we were raised and how we were taught. And I heard Maria speaking earlier about the discipline and respect. There were people in our neighborhood, such as Sissy, Miss Lacey, who was our step-grandmother, and Polk, and all of those people we respected, and Stonewall, and Uncle Roy, and Uncle Riley, and Uncle Emmett, and Uncle John. We didn't care how Uncle John lived his life. We didn't look at him as if, oh, he's this drunk. We loved him because he was so humble, so caring. He was our uncle. But we looked through that and saw Jesus in him. So it's very important to raise your kid under the word of God. So very important to have the meetings that you're speaking about, Reggie. There's nothing wrong with calling the family together and just trying to see what's going on in your life, what's going on in my life. Mm-hmm. That's keeping in touch with your child. That's letting them know you're interested. I love you. I'm here for you. Because today, so many kids are reaching out for different things to bring them over. Drugs, alcohol, everything is out here for them today, and that's what they're reaching for. Some of them are out here seeking love. They finding love, but all in the wrong places. They finding it. That's all right. Go ahead. Finding in the wrong places, but I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to lay down my life for you to make sure that God is there with you. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to twist. I'm going to stand on the word of God and his promises. But that's what we need, and I didn't mean to say all of that, but it's one thing about it. When I think about how God has brought us through, when I think about my childhood and how our mother raised us and how she worked so hard to make sure, no, we didn't have everything and anything, but God sent people to her to help her make a meal. Miss Lumet, Cousin Gertrude, those old women stood by her because through the blood of Jesus Christ, carried us over, carried us over. And he was right there for us at all times. When I think about my childhood, it brings joy to my heart. It brings tears to my eyes. I was just sitting here the other night just thanking God. Thank God you let my mother live to see 88. Thank God you brought her through. Thank God, thank God. It's a blessing. It's truly a blessing. Thank God, no matter what's going on, my mother's still around. So it's truly a blessing. But bringing it up through the word of God, showing up carry you further than drugs or what the sinful world has to offer. Thank you.
So,
Barbara,
thank you so much. Great point. Thank you so much. And just real quickly here, Tanya, I definitely want to get your opinion on anything.
Evangelist Vaughn, your voice was breaking up right there at that moment.
Okay, thank you, see, I needed to hear that. Tanya, if you're able to hear me and you would like to comment on our conversation for tonight, we definitely want to hear from you. We're coming here. We have just a few more minutes in our broadcast for tonight. But what you said was so true, Barbara, and I really appreciate that. And I'm wondering, as you always put out, you're looking for solutions.
Your phone is breaking up real bad.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, something happened, Evangelist. Something happened to your phone, and it's really breaking up pretty bad.
All right, is that any better?
That started to get better there. It did like a wave of where you were clear and then a wave where it wasn't. Can you do that one more time? Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Okay. So just maybe moving back from the computer. Awesome.
Yeah.
So Tanya, if you're still online, Tanya, we would love to hear from you and your opinion because we know you are still racing here today. So if you'd like to speak to us, please just jump in any time. We are coming to the top of our hour.
I believe
you
hang up and call back.
I don't know what it is. I heard you a little bit. I hear a lot of static, though. But in our last 2 minutes here, there's one other way to, again, come up with a solution. So if we end our topic tonight, I think we talked about that we're wanting to define our young people talking to us. Also, we were talking about that we want to make sure that we
don't have kids that we're raising right now. So we're staying in that grandparent role, that auntie role. You're very clear.
Your voice was very clear right there, wherever you're at.
Okay. So I can't hang up because it'll hang up my broadcast. But, Reggie, if you just take the last few minutes and kind of do a sign-off of what all we discussed tonight.
Sure. We touched on a lot of things. We started by talking about the issues. You had introduced us in and talked about some things that you wanted to discuss, and we arrived at things that are affecting our families today. And the conversation kind of migrated to our children, and one of the things that I was saying that had come up was the topic of self-policing. And don't look at it like a uniform, someone having a badge and a uniform on, but policing ourselves as far as making sure that we're within bounds. And so there we talked about the initial responsibility of self-policing deals with us taking care and policing our own selves to make sure we're doing the right thing at the right time and that we're, you know, being responsible citizens of society. Then we talked about our next layer of self-policing responsibility is to self-police our families, our children, our spouses. We are responsible for self-policing our households. And then from there, we are responsible for self-policing our street, our neighborhood, our cities, our towns, counties, states. And so that responsibility for self-policing is carried outward. And that's where we came to the point of parents. and their responsibility for self-policing their families and the things that they have to do to protect their families, whether it's making sure that they police themselves and not be drinking or smoking weed or whatever when they're supposed to be looking out for and taking care of their family, their children. We also talked about making sure that we educate our children from a young age on things that they should know. We talked about setting up a password with the children so that if someone comes to them and says, your mother told me to come and pick you up, that they don't just get in the car with a stranger or someone who they know. Make sure that they would ask for the password so that if the mother went in the hospital, she would give that person the password and tell that person to give the password to her child. And then later we got to where we were talking about correcting behaviors. It's the parents' responsibility to self-police the children, and that is correcting behaviors. And so we outlined three things that we would do. And when raising that child, we talked about looking at behavioral patterns as and identifying those behavioral patterns as an event or an occurrence, as a pattern, if they continue, if the event or occurrence continues, now it can become a pattern. And we have to inject ourselves, admit that sometimes we don't have the knowledge and resources, we don't know how to solve the problem, and then we go to our ministers, we go to our school resource officer, and we go to them to try to help us solve the problem. But if the problem still exists after it's a pattern, we have to be really careful because it will become a subconscious practice. And that's what happens with many folks who become drug addicts, who become criminals. It's a pattern that's never been addressed, and now it's a subconscious behavior. And so those were some of the things. We also talked about living defensively. We talked about whether you were, as a motorcycle rider, I have to drive defensively because even if it's not my fault, I'm the one that still will die if I'm in a collision with a car. So even if a car turns in front of me, makes a left turn for them, left, makes a left turn and comes across my lane, even though it's their fault, I would be the one who'd be injured. So I drive defensively by taking steps to reduce my throttle, have my foot ready to hit the brakes, have my lights flashing on bright and dim. I take those steps just to make sure that I can compensate for their failure to stop. I don't want to sit there and go, it's his responsibility to stop, and if he does pull in front of me, it will be his fault. We have to do the same thing as parents in being defensive and defensive parenting with our children. They might not like it. Sometimes it might seem uncomfortable, but it's our responsibility to do it. And so that's pretty much what we talked about. And I just wanted to mention Evangelist Vaughn quickly. I wanted to take 3 minutes and mention one last thing, is we have to make sure in today's society, I'll back up, in today's society, a major problem in our communities is people viewing themselves as victims. We can either see ourselves as victims or as victors.
Wow.
Today, you can look in politics, and with these elections coming up, you'll see each side wanting to get themselves portrayed as the victim. Our president, you often hear him say how this is a scam. This is a hoax. They're coming after me. Everybody has learned that there's power in victimhood. And so everyone today has adopted the opinion that they need to portray themselves as the victim. The problem with that is that when that spills down to our children, then it tells our children that they are not responsible for the things that they do. They get used to hearing their parents say that it's the utility company's fault that the bills didn't get paid. And sometimes it's their own fault because they've wasted the money. Other times they did not make enough money to get the utilities paid. So, but this all stems from our judicial system, where people are declared guilty or not guilty. There's only two choices.
Mm-hmm.
And then other times it's guilty but mentally, unable to make the decision. But when we have a judicial system where people are one of two things, guilty or not guilty, and that comes into our homes, we can't do that. We have to talk to our children and let them know that inside our houses we have five standards. You know, you're just not right or wrong. There are steps you could have taken to prevent it, even though it's not your fault. There are measures you could have taken to see it coming. And that's the way that we have to run our households, as five, six levels of responsibility. When we say that someone kicked me at school and I spat on them or I punched them, we have to go back and dig deeper, and I call it peeling the layers off the onion. We have to dig deeper and ask the question, why did the person spit on you? Or why did the person, kick you? Because a lot of times we're going to get that I was the innocent victim sitting in my desk, learning, studying, and a person walked up and kicked me. We know that a lot of times this is just not the case. And we dig deeper, and we sometimes find out, it was because you kicked them out on the playground, because you guys were goofing around. You were punching and kicking each other, and it was all fun. But then we got back in the classroom, and someone didn't stop playing and kicked you, and then you got it. So we have to dig deeper, and we have to assign, that person was wrong for kicking you, but we have to get them comfortable with accepting responsibility for the things that happen. We can't let them be the victim. And so the teacher writes home and says, Johnny is doing this, this, or this. And the first thing we do is yell at the teacher that don't tell my son my son didn't do this. That child has to know that you paid that teacher's salary to educate him or her. And when they don't behave, and it is that teacher's responsibility to let her know, to let you know. It is the responsibility of the parent to make sure that our children become victors, not victims. And all of society today wants to be a victim.
So nice. Oh, wow. This time really flies when you're having fun. This has been, we have a little bit under a minute left here on the broadcast. This, again, is the RBV chat, and this is Reggie, Barbara, and Vaughn. And we are excited for this first kickoff show. A lot of interesting topics, but basically it all gears around our kids and our families. Well, I invite everyone to come and remember, these shows are available in the archives. You can go back and listen to the whole show in its entirety. It is available in the archives. I invite you to join us on our next show, which will be our topic, is what in the world is going on in our government. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, and I promise you, you don't want to miss that. I know your opinion is very important, and I tell you, Reggie's got a lot of good stuff on this too. We're not going to get into, dividing the parties, but we just want everyone to be able to be heard. So at the end here, we're coming down to about 50 seconds left. I want to, again, invite you to come back. Check us out on Facebook, because I'll be posting when our next broadcast will be. We're hoping to come to you at least once a week, if not more. We may have to do something midweek also. But if nothing else, I want you to leave any little last 10 or 30, 20 second remarks anyone can have. And then again, we'll see you on the next broadcast. Anything else? Barbara, thank you so much for joining us. Tanya, thank you so much for joining us. Invite someone else to come and be a part of us. And our last 10 seconds, again, I invite you to join us on the International Faith Covenant Fellowship every Sunday night at 7 o'clock. You may dial in 605-313-5106. Code is 360777#. This is Minister Von Dumas, Reggie, and Barbara. And we said thank you once again. We love you. See you next time. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. As we continue on our last one, we have just excited for everyone that was a part of the conversation tonight. And so, again, we just want to just kind of put it all together of what we covered tonight, and we're just basically making sure that we understand that we are here with each other. We're here for each other. And so whatever issues that you may be facing right now today, it's not just you. We are here with you. We are the village that it says it takes a village to raise the children. It's not just a certain age that we're speaking about. Because you may be 50 years old and you still got some issues that you're going through and you need someone to talk to. We're here for you. We are here for you. You may be going through some things right now that it seems like you can't talk to no one else. And sometimes it's easier to talk when you're on the phone and we're not sitting face to face. And sometimes it's vice versa. But we want to give you that opportunity. We are listening. We are here for you. We are listening. So I invite you to make sure that this become a part of your everyday curriculum. As you come on and just look us up, we'll be giving out our times that we're going to be broadcasting. We'll also be giving out the topics that we're going to be broadcasting. And any topics that you may have that you want to speak about or you want to just hear a little bit more about, I know we have elections coming up. It may just be something you want to know how to get in touch with your senators or with your mayor or someone in your city government there. So we want to make sure that we are here to just spread the information to our communities, to change our communities for the better, because we live in our communities. Our kids are growing in our communities. So we must get involved. And I know you say, but my vote doesn't count, my word doesn't count, my voice is not being heard. Well, we want to teach you how to speak louder. We want to teach you how to get in a position that you can see a difference being made. Because whether you recognize it or not, there is a difference being made whether you speak or not. We want to see that it is leaning towards your favor, that it's benefiting you and your families when you speak the word of God. Amen? Amen. So we want to speak that into everyone's life. And I then also want to remind you that you can definitely go into the chat rooms whenever we're live. You can also just go into the chat rooms and just partake by just chatting back and forth if that's what you're wanting to do. Amen? You can go through the chat rooms, and we would love to just hear from you, hear what you have to say. Someone is always kind of watching over the chat rooms too, but we'll make sure that whatever it is that you want to discuss, that you are going to be a part of it. So as we close for tonight and our takeaways, again, it's just to be there for each other, just to love on your family. And don't allow, I know it may be a habit that has been set up. Reggie was speaking about that. Wherever you're at, start right there at that point. So you may not be at that point. You may be at the point where every day as you're cooking or whatever, as you're resting, you give your device to your child as the babysitter. And so you have it on the, you know, I know my child is not going any farther than this on the device because I've blocked it, I've locked it, I did this or that. And so that's very good for you. And let's spread that information on to someone else who may not have put parental guidance or locks on the TV or on the different things that they are doing. So we want to make sure that you spread that information on to someone else, okay? Because it's out there. It's helpful information that'll help somebody else, all right? So I just thank you for just being a part of the show. Again, this is the RBV, Reggie, Barbara, and Vaughn, and we're just chatting with you to make sure that you understand that your voice is important and you are being heard. And so our last little bit that we wanted to close with is something that Reggie had talked about, is to watch out for, is the OPP. And that's the first time, you know, an incident happens. You know, sometimes we just get all carried away and we just put too much emphasis on it. And it could just be an event that happened. It was just a one-time action. It was just an occurrence. And so as parents, as grandparents, we look at that as an occurrence. We don't automatically start to talk about, oh, you're just like your father, you're just like your mother, you're just like this and that person, and you're just making the same mistakes. It just could be an occurrence, something that happened, an event, a one-time action. And then he spoke about the P, O-P-P, it's where we're going, the acronym. And so the P, it set a pattern. It starts to set a pattern where it's maybe a short time range. Or you see now that all this keeps happening. Maybe it happened once and twice, and now you see that this is kind of happening over and over again. You're kind of getting into a pattern of relying on telling a lie instead of telling the truth. It felt a little comfortable. You got away with it the first few times. And so now it doesn't happen all the time, but anytime you're up against this certain situation, you find yourself, you relate back to that pattern. And so that's something that we need to start to addressing, the behavior that seems to now being more comfortable. We're getting more comfortable in that behavior, whereas at the occurrence, it may have scared us. We may have been like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I did this, I did that. But as it keeps going, that pattern, now we're feeling like, oh, okay, I feel comfortable more doing it. And then the last P that he spoke about is a practice. He said a practice becomes a problem. He said because it's settled in your self-consciousness at this time. It's settled in your self-consciousness at this time that it becomes a practice. It becomes a problem. It becomes something that you kind of already know that you're going to do. You know that you're going to say it this way. You're comfortable with it. You don't even feel guilty about it anymore. You don't even think twice about this behavior anymore. And that's when we have a problem. And so we want it to be able to look at it as parents and grandparents and leaders and ministers and teachers, that we're checking it out and identifying the behavior at the first O, that first occurrence, that first event, before it turns into a pattern, and that pattern will get you to a problem. That problem is something that you practice on a daily basis or every time that you met with that circumstance, and it's so much harder to turn away from, not that it can't be, so much harder to turn away from when we get it into that stage. And so as we just make sure that we observe everything that we spoke about tonight, and ponder up on some of these things, and make sure that we understand that whatever we go through, you can speak about it here. We at RBV, we want to chat with you. Your concerns, your opinions is very important. So tell somebody else about the broadcast. Tell somebody else and invite others to come and join in. We will keep you up to track on social media. Look out for us, and we'll post when we're going to be airing again. Amen? So the call-in number is 516-666-8431. And if you come in through the computer, signing into Blog Talk, and then you look for Vaughn Dumas, it'll ask you if you would like to just join the chat. And you can join the chat, but to comment in the chat, you would have to be signed into your one of the social medias, okay? All right, then. Well, that's all I have for tonight. I, again, want to thank you for being a part of the show. God bless you and keep you until we meet again. All right, goodbye.